The ACLU sues Governor Pence. Is his immigration order unconstitutional? Dan Coats criticizes the Obama ISIS strategy. Is he on the mark? Will a sensational murder lead to changes in the system? A new casino in Evansville and No Shave November. That and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending November 27, 2015.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, the ACLU sued Governor Mike Pence in an effort to reverse his order blocking the settlement of Syrian refugees in Indiana. The ACLU is seeking a federal injunction on behalf of Exodus Refugee Immigration, an agency that is preparing to relocate 19 Syrian refugees in the coming months. The injunction would permit refugees to receive state payments for assistance that includes food stamps, welfare, and Medicaid. It would also ensure that Exodus would continue to receive state funding that totals about $900,000 a year. Carlene Miller of Exodus.
If I could talk to Governor Pence, I would really actually want him to meet a Syrian family and to understand why these people are coming and who they are. These are people who are fleeing persecution. They've suffered great traumas.
Will Syrian refugees continue to relocate in Indiana? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat John Zodi, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwannis, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV Statehouse reporter Jim Shella. Mike McDaniel, the ACLU says that the governor is discriminating on the basis of national origin, and that's unconstitutional. That is what he's doing, isn't it?
Well, he's trying to take care of the public safety of the people of Indiana, and that's his number one concern, which should be the number one concern of anybody that's head of an executive branch position in government, whether you're president of the United States, governor, or mayor, whatever it might be. And this dispute is between two sovereign governments, the United States government and the government of the state of Indiana, and whether or not that program should be continued. The letter that was signed by the governor and 30 other governors from around the country talked about suspending the program until they can have proof that the situation is safe and that these folks are properly vetted. We saw what happened in Paris where somebody slipped through the process there. And it turns out this week ABC News is now reporting that we had a slippage of that kind here when the Iraqi refugees were coming into the country. And we had a gentleman down in Bowling Green, Kentucky, who was loading up with weapons trying to kill military personnel as a result of that refugee program not working.
But wait a minute, let me finish.
What happened was the Obama administration, what did they do? They suspended the program for 6 months until they made sure the vetting process was correct and didn't tell Congress when they did it, it turns out. And so basically what these governors are asking the president to do is exactly what the Obama administration did when the Iraqi worked through this system and beat the system down in Bowling Green, Kentucky. So this is not about that one family that didn't come here that ended up in Connecticut. This is about suspending this program until they get it right. And because we continue to take refugees from the Burmese refugees and others from around the country right now. So.
Well, and we're going to continue quite possibly to take Syrian refugees because the governor can stop the state aid that goes to them. He can't keep them from coming to the state.
Well, that's true. Exodus International said that they're going to keep doing this despite the governor's intention to suspend state assistance for this. But the administration needs to get their story straight because they have changed it. The governor made a knee-jerk reaction, suspended this right away, this program right away with the other governors the day after the attacks. Certainly the safety and security of Hoosiers is important, but the administration was asked if there were any pending cases for any more refugees to come in. They said no. The next day they sent a letter saying, please halt any pending cases. So there were pending cases. So the governor made a reaction without really knowing what was actually going on in the state with as it concerns Syrian refugees. So I think the deliberation is also important here. The United States only has accepted 5% of the Syrian refugees that have applied for refugee status to the country. So the vetting process is there. It is important. And so when the governor looks at this, I think more deliberation would have been important here.
Do you think Donnelly was wrong to support the governor in what he said?
Well, this is a federal issue.
So Senator Donnelly was wrong is what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that at all. When the Senate makes a vote on this, when they make a vote on this, I'll have to decide what he's going to do. He has been asking questions for more than a year on the vetting process.
Right.
The governor is
and he supported the governor in the program.
He supports taking a look at the vetting process. He didn't say supported what the governor was doing.
John, he said the governor was correct in what he did.
I don't believe he said that.
John, this is the first lawsuit of its kind in the country, but it's the National ACLU who reached out to Exodus Immigration, and we expect that there will be more. Interesting that this debate is focused here.
Jim, I think it is interesting that the debate is focused here, but I'm not surprised, because what you've got is a situation with the first family that was turned away. It was here, and it was the place where it occurred. I think it's important to recognize, too, that we talked earlier about how you've got a situation with Exodus is going to continue to go forward. Well, the governor can stop the benefits to Exodus for these Syrian families, but there may be an outpouring of support across the country to Exodus to cover those kinds of expenses. So I think that we're going to see a next phase in the issue coming forward on that, and I'll be curious to see how that plays out, much less what happens in the courts.
Well, in the courts, the Attorney General is suggesting that Exodus may not have standing, that if anybody's got standing, it would be Syrian immigrants who have not yet arrived.
And I guess I'm not surprised that attorneys would be looking at, you might say, the technicalities here about standing. That is part of the process. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But I think there eventually will have to be a more fundamental judgment based on the merits of this kind of situation in this response by the governor. Because if it's not going to be litigated based on Indiana's case, it will be litigated somewhere in the country, given that, more than two dozen governors have taken very similar stances. So, it's and even there's the court battle, and then there's the public opinion battle. And I will say that in that regard, I don't think this hurts Mike Pence. Might hurt him in Connecticut, but so what?
We've seen national polls that show a majority of people support blocking Syrian refugees.
And I would just assume, because, again, the tendency, somebody has harmed our house, so to speak. Your tendency is to lock the gate, close the door. It's a very understandable human tendency. And don't forget that the person that or the entity that is filing suit here, the American Civil Liberties Union, is not extremely popular in some parts of the country. It was, 1988, when George Herbert Walker Bush actually made it an insult. You're a card-carrying member of the ACLU. Now, I'm not saying I'm just saying that is a part of this broader discussion.
All right, the governor responded with a statement from his spokeswoman, Kara Brooks. She said, quote, "The governor is confident that he has the authority to suspend the state's participation in the resettlement of Syrian refugees in Indiana and will not reverse course until the administration and Congress take action to pause this program and implement measures necessary to address security gaps." John Zodi, the spokeswoman, also said that the governor believes this is not a partisan issue. Do you?
Well, the safety and security of Hoosiers is not a partisan issue, but unfortunately the governor doesn't have a great track record on reacting to things in a nonpartisan way. Like I said, what happened in Paris occurred. He joins his fellow Republican governors, makes a knee-jerk reaction, doesn't know what
There's
his administration
There's one Democrat governor in there.
Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire, that's correct. However, didn't know what his administration was doing. His the FSSA, who's in charge of state assistance, changed their story on this. The governor reacts in an ideological way over the well-being of his state a lot of the time, so he doesn't have a great track record in talking about nonpartisanship.
Well, he seems to be trying to stay away from this becoming a partisan issue. He's undergoing partisan attacks, and so his response is to say it's not partisan.
Well, it's not. It's about public safety, and that's what Mike Pence said from the get-go, and that's what he believes. And his first job is to protect the public, and that's what he believes he's doing here, along with 30 other governors around the country. And the only partisanship going on here is the Democrats attacking Mike Pence and trying to make it a partisan issue. So it's one of those things where, look, this is going to play out between the federal government and the states, and until they can prove that, as the head of the FBI said, that there are gaps in this system, and until they can prove there are no gaps in the system, I think you're going to find most governors stick to their guns on this.
But you've got Jay Johnson, the federal head of Homeland Security, putting out a video this week trying to convince people how safe the refugee process is, how serious the vetting.
Well, and you can certainly play the statistics game. I mean, you've had, just look at Syria, for instance. I think since 2011, about 2,000 or so Syrian refugees have found their way into the U.S., and based on the numbers I saw, the arrest total is zero, which is a pretty telling statistic. But I'm sure you can find, just as is the case with any statistics, you can argue an opposite case. And we should also point out that when you're talking about terrorism, it only takes one lapse or one mistake to change everything dramatically, so then statistics go out the window. It's a tough situation on so many levels, and this is one, though, where probably the law, federal law, isn't necessarily in sync with, at least at this point, public opinion, but presume in the end it will triumph.
But public opinion is on Mike Pence's side.
And public opinion matters. Look, we all want to feel secure. But I think it's important to reflect on the point that John made about the number of arrests from the Assyrians who have been allowed into the country to this point. It's a very stringent program. It is not a inferior program. It is different than the one that is used in European countries. And the other way to look at this is that it has not failed. It has not failed because of the situation we've had. And yes, indeed, it only takes one lapse to make a failure. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that will be somebody from Syria. It could be somebody from Ohio.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. Last week's question, should Indiana accept Syrian refugees? 66% said yes. 13% said not without additional safeguards. 21% said no. This week's question, will the ACLU lawsuit succeed? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, or C, they should stay out of this. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Meantime, Indiana Senator Dan Coats is criticizing President Obama for his ISIS strategy. The Republican went on Fox News to question the president's handling of intelligence information.
And I think it's clear to most Americans and clear to anybody who's paying attention to this that the decisions he has made regarding this threat and the numerous threats we face around the world have been bad decisions. They haven't worked. And so, yes, let's investigate this. Let's make sure the president doesn't hide behind, oh, I got faulty intelligence. Right. That's the reason I put up the policies I did, and that's why it doesn't work. The buck stops at the White House. It stops at the president's desk. This president doesn't seem to understand that.
John Katzenberger, is this the time to be critical?
Well, I don't think there's a bad time to be critical. And certainly Senator Coats has got standing as a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee. He understands what he's talking about. But in 2014, he was modestly in favor of the movements that the president had made. Now, a lot of time has elapsed since then. And so, look, he can be critical if he wants of the president. I hope he's not calling for another congressional investigation. The last thing we need are more investigations. I think the better thing to do, and especially with what happened this week
where we have the Turkish plane knocking a Russian fighter out of the sky. We have events that are happening so quickly and on such a multi-level situation that I think it's best if we all, you know, all of those people, the president, the members of the intelligence committees, and all the best experts huddle with all of their counterparts from across the world and figure this out and then act before we have these sniping attacks, whether they're international or domestic.
Well, Coach is also saying that the refugee problem should be handled in that part of the world, that they should set up refugee camps and give them supplies and not bring the refugees here. It's interesting how vocal he's been.
Well, he has been. That's part of it. Also, in terms of taking the fight, if you will, not his words, but mine, to outside our borders in terms of equipping certain people with more weapons, more lethal weapons, changing the sort of rules of engagement, everything down to looking at perhaps reviewing the waiver, visa waiver program, which enables, 37 countries, the people who bear passports from 37 countries to basically come and go from the U.S. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a knee-jerk reaction. Now, there are certainly Republican U.S. senators who you could put them in a soundproof booth and they don't even know what the subject is, and they come out and somebody asks, was Obama right? And they'd say, absolutely not. He was horribly wrong. That's not Dan Coats. And for the reason that John mentions, you go back just to last fall, and he was generally supportive and complimentary when the president spelled out his first ISIS strategy. So
he does have more standing than I think a lot of people on
Capitol Hill.
That's what makes this commentary interesting.
Yeah, because John's right. Dan Coats is not a flamethrower. He's not a highly partisan guy. He's a guy who's on the Intelligence Committee, and he sees that this program that the president has put in place has not worked, and it continues to not work. And he thinks that the Obama administration wants to put a false front on the front of this building, if you will, to say everything's fine, that we're doing what we need to be doing, and so forth and so on. But the American public has lost confidence. America's on edge because of what's happened around the world with the airliner going down, what happened in Paris, the threats against the United States. I mean, on and on. Even his own party. I mean, Leon Panetta, you know, Dianne Feinstein, Hillary Clinton. They're criticizing the president and his policies regarding ISIS. He seems to be in denial about this, and we cannot be in that situation now.
They seem mostly to be criticizing his public statements when he called ISIS the JV team and when he said they were contained.
Says she's not clear that the plan is working and not sure that we have one.
Yeah. I also know the Republicans have a lot of credibility talking about faulty intelligence. I mean, look at our strategy going to Iraq and the intelligence that was provided there to members of Congress, which turned out to be not exactly accurate. What we do have, though, is a team of people working. Senator Feinstein has been very deliberative and not so much critical as working to hold the administration accountable and say, share with Congress what you need to share with us so that we can move forward in the best way possible with the very best intelligence we can get. And this trickles over into the refugee problem when we're talking about that the United States has the intelligence it has. It cannot operate in a way it can't find something that's not there. So we have to keep gathering intelligence. I think that's what the president is trying to do with all the incoming. We have another member of Congress encouraging him to enact, encouraging the UN to go with Article 5 and all these strategies that are being suggested to the president when he in fact is the commander in chief and needs to have the ability and the flexibility to do what he thinks is best.
Moving on. Two arrests were made this week in a sensational crime that has been the focus of national media attention. Larry Taylor Jr. and Jaylen Watson both faced several charges, including murder, stemming from the death of Amanda Blackburn. Blackburn, a pregnant pastor's wife, was killed during a burglary in her Indianapolis home. Prosecutors are considering the death penalty for Taylor, who they believe pulled the trigger. John Schwanes, does this case expose problems with the criminal justice system?
I guess it exposes problems with society. I mean, more fundamentally, it's just tragic. It's a heinous crime. It's horrible. Give me enough time, I'll come up with a list of 100 other adjectives, all of which in the same vein. This is just a horrible thing,
horrible things happen like this, people look for answers. They look for ways to prevent the next one. And these guys they're both adults, but they had juvenile records.
They clearly have had a lot of blemishes on their records and you know, I hope the book, if they're guilty, I hope the book is thrown at them. The pastor now came out with a statement that he and his family, the victim's surviving spouse, that was so filled with grace and a tone of forgiveness, much better man than I would ever be. But it's there's nothing good. I mean, the lesson here is there are bad people doing bad things.
But do we need longer juvenile sentences?
You know, I think that that's something that ought to be looked at. I'm not able to say that the system has succeeded or failed from a criminal justice perspective. But I think Tim Swearens at the Indianapolis Star had an interesting column this week very much about this. And he took issue with the situation, you know, people saying that the alleged perpetrators were animals. And he pointed out, and I think rightly so, that we as fellow citizens need to understand that that's a reflection upon us. And if there is a failure there, it's a failure of all of us as a society not to make sure that these people grow up and have a better experience. And I don't think that's in the criminal justice system. I think that's in the social services and in the families. And I think until we get that problem solved, we're going to continue to face these kinds of heinous situations. And so I think that rather than focusing on the criminal justice system right now, it's probably better to look at society as a whole and figure out how we can make it better.
Well, will this lead to changes anywhere?
Well, I don't know, and that's always the question when we see such a heinous act here. I will say that I think the chronology, the very quick response by law enforcement, I've read over the chronology and the surveillance cameras with the stolen car and the DNA evidence and things happening, the investigation was done very quickly and swiftly, and there was a lot of work done to make sure that was done quickly. So I think whether it leads to changes or not, I do think law enforcement and the prosecutor needs some compliments here
I think that's right.
For their swift response.
Yet they keep saying that they're not treating this differently than any other case. Why is that?
Yeah, I think they have to say that, but I think this one really touched a nerve with the public. And this beautiful young woman, pregnant with child, and having this complete lack of respect for life, this deserves the death penalty. These are not minors. These are adults. And I don't know that it's going to change laws, but I think the public would be in favor of the death penalty on this particular case.
The owner of the Evansville Casino said this week that it plans to move from its current riverboat docked along the Ohio River to a new $50 million onshore facility. The announcement for the new Tropicana Evansville Casino makes it the first to take advantage of a new state law allowing riverboat casinos to build on land on property near their current locations. Tropicana officials say the new 75,000 square foot casino will be built between its existing hotels across the street from the current riverboat. Mike McDaniel, will others follow suit?
Absolutely. This is exactly what the legislature had in mind when they changed the gaming law in Indiana, that there would be redevelopment, especially the casinos on the river and on the lake, that they can move on land, which means construction jobs, more people employed, better competition for the surrounding states that have come online. This is exactly the kind of thing that we need to have happen. This will re-energize downtown Evansville because of where they're going to put this and the new hotels that are going to be up there. This is what we hoped would happen, and it's starting to happen, and it's good for Indiana.
And the first evidence that the new law is working.
Yeah, and, you know, being Thanksgiving, I'm in complete agreement with Mike here. This is good for downtown Evansville. It looks like our friends in the organized labor movement, the building trades, will get a lot of this work down there. It's a great thing for Evansville, and I think the back and forth on how we treat our gaming facilities, this is a clear answer that this is needed.
And the Republican mayor taking some credit for it, too.
Sure.
All right, finally, the Movember movement aims to raise awareness for men's health issues, and you can count law enforcement officers in Madison County among the many with fuller facial hair this week in honor of Movember, or No Shave November. The Anderson Police Department and the Madison County Sheriff's Department are allowing officers and deputies to grow beards if they make a donation. Money raised will go to families in need, and more than $1,000 has come in.
Once we found out it was going to a good cause, we were really excited, and that made it, you know, much better for us.
It's different, but with it getting cold, it's nice because it actually helps keep me a little bit warmer, so I'm definitely enjoying it.
John Zodi, is No Shave November working?
It is. You know, I'm not. I'm clean shaven today, but I've had the uncomfortable test that every guy should get, and make sure we are preventing cancer, and we are all living as healthy lives as we should. So it's working.
It is working, but it doesn't seem to have the sort of you know, October is Breast Cancer Month. It's much higher profile.
It takes some time to catch on. Over the years, I think it will catch on. I thought about it, but I was afraid that if I let mine grow, there'd be kids mistake me for Santa Claus.
Really? Yeah, you think yeah. that? Yeah. I think there might be adults who would confuse you for Santa Claus, too. We should let John speak on this one, since he's the one who didn't shave this month.
Oh, that's right. This is the product of about 18 months. It takes me a while to get in with any of the fashions, Jim.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat John Zodi, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.